The title of our message today is Appointed by God. As we continue our study in the life of the first king of Israel, King Saul. In our first study, we saw that Saul was called by God. And there were certain attributes in his life that made him usable. And we examined our lives that we might be usable in the hands of God as well. And then in our second study, we saw that he was equipped by God last weekend. And that you and I are also equipped by God to do the things that God has called us to do. In our study today, we see Saul, from his point of view maybe, finally appointed into that position. Do you ever feel like God just isn't moving fast enough for you? Maybe you're like that. That's kind of the way that I am. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you feel like God moves too fast and that God's constantly saying, come on, let's go, let's go. Others of you feel like, boy, you're way out there in front of God. I remember when Joshua, after being defeated at Ai, do you remember he's laying on his face before God and he's crying, God, why did you let us get defeated? All the people around us are going to see this defeat, and why did you let this happen? And do you remember what God said to him? God said, why do you lie here on your face like thus? Get up and get things together. There's sin in the camp. And I wonder if God might not be saying that to some here today. You've been a Christian for a while. You haven't been doing anything for the Lord. And God would say to you today, why do you lay here like thus on your face? Or maybe better yet, why do you sit there like thus on your brrr, see? Rather than allowing God to use you. Others of you are much more like me. And that is that you run way ahead of God. That's how I am. God always says, Robert, come back. I'm not there yet. Come here, come back. And I'm always wondering, you know, where's God at? What's he doing? And I'm out there in front of him an awful lot. And some of us are like that. It is very important for us to learn to walk in step with the Spirit, to follow the direction of God, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, knowing that what we are doing is called by God and empowered by God. And see, God's timing is always perfect. We might think that our timing is perfect, but God's timing is always perfect. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I had really, from the time I was a teenager, wanted to be a pastor. I remember one of the first times I ever told my mother that I wanted to be a pastor. We'd gone to church on Sunday morning, and we left, and I told her, Mom, I think I want to be a pastor. And she said, really? Well, why? I said, because they only work one day a week. Now, I've learned since then that you actually have to work 2 days a week. No. I learned that there's a lot more to doing the work of the Lord than just one day a week. But as I got older, I still desired to pastor. And I believed that God was going to work it out in my life to bring me to the place where I was pastoring. But in my early 20s, as I was a youth pastor, really pouring into those kids, I wish I would have just settled down. I wish that somebody would have just kind of said to me, will you stop it? Settle down and pour into these kids. Because there was a time in my life when I really didn't give as much to them as I should have. Because I was looking ahead at what I knew God was calling me into, and believing that God wasn't quite moving fast enough. But had I just settled down and poured into those kids, I'm sure I would be a lot happier as I think back to that time. But God's timing was perfect. We started the church here in 1985. I was 25 years old. Those of you who have been around for a long time, you may remember back then. I was 25 years old, but I looked like I was 16. I look like Doogie Howser. That's what people would tell me. You look like Doogie Howser. Why, thank you very much. I actually grew a mustache just because I wanted to look older. Because people would come to the church and they'd say, boy, we love the church. We love the worship. We love your teaching. But you're just so young, they would say. And I would always tell them, well, there's lots of churches with old pastors. So go find, well, you know, a church with an old pastor in there if that's really what you want. I was so thankful for the passage in Timothy where God said, let no one despise your youth. In fact, like I said, I grew a mustache just so I could look older, but it came in kind of weak, so I'll confess to you guys now, I got some of that mustache wax and put it in there. To make it look, I painted it on there. Now I'm mature, I have a mustache. I think back to those days, and, you know, my voice is a little higher than two. Now it's very deep, and I sound very manly. Somebody told me one time, they heard me on the radio, and they thought, who's this lady on the radio? Now that's kind of embarrassing, see? Because I talked rather high back then, really fast, and this I talk, and so people thought, well, nice, you know, lady pastor here at Calvary Chapel. In fact, somebody did say to somebody who was coming to the church, "Oh yeah, I heard your pastor on the radio. You've got a lady pastor, huh?" Didn't like that too much. But what I learned is that God's timing is perfect. And some of you today, you may be a little antsy. You may be saying to God, "Why haven't you, you know, really done, worked out in my heart what you've really shared with me that you're going to do?" Or perhaps there's some here who are holding back and it's time for you to begin to move. We're going to see that as God finally comes to the place where he appoints King Saul to be king. He's called him to be king. He's equipped him to be king. And now, finally, in chapter 10, he appoints him to be king. Let's pick it up in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. It says, "So it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart." This would be King Saul. "And all of those signs came to pass that day." Jump ahead to verse 14 now. "Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, 'Where did you go?' So he said, 'To look for the donkeys. When we saw that there were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel.' And Saul's uncle said, 'Tell me, please, what Samuel said to you.' So Saul said to his uncle, 'He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel said.'" If God had told you that you were going to be king, would you do what Saul did and not tell anybody? Or would you run around and tell everybody? I think the majority of us would run around and tell people, "Guess what? God wants me to be king. God's called me to be king." I think that's probably what I would do. I think that's what Peter would do, don't you? What we know of Peter in the New Testament, always arguing with James and John about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. I think Peter would have said, "Fellas, did you hear that? God's called me to be king." But Saul doesn't do it. And as I look at this, I think, well, there may be two reasons why he doesn't do it. One of them could be negative and one of them could be positive. We don't know his motive, but let's consider the negative first. Maybe Saul was holding back. Maybe Saul knew that God wanted to use him, but he was afraid to be used by God. And so when the opportunity came, Saul hid from God rather than being there ready to be usable. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps even as I began to talk on this point, you realize that that's you. I don't know why you might hold back from God. Maybe it's that you just feel inadequate. You feel like God has called you into a certain position. He wants you to do certain things, but you're just afraid to really step forward. Maybe you were involved in some other churches before and you were hurt in those churches. You know, we get a lot of people that end up coming to Calvary because of our size. There's 5 different services. People can kind of slip in and slip out and not really be noticed. And they were really involved in a church before, but they got hurt. And I understand that. I understand that sometimes it takes time for those things to heal. But I also understand that you can't not do something for God because of what people have done for you or to you. That you have to make yourself available, and there are those here today that God is going to say, it's time for you to move. It's time to step up. It's time to begin to do those things that God has called you to do. Remember the parable that Jesus told about someone who receives 10 talents, someone receives 5 talents, another guy receives 1 talent? Have you ever thought that that parable kind of is unfair? Yeah, you know, you got 3 different guys, you should have divided equally. But you know, people say regularly, well, life isn't fair. And we all go, amen, right? Because we all know that. But somehow we feel like God should be fair. But we know that it's not true. I mean, some people are born really good looking. And then there's the rest of us. And we say, well, that's not fair. Well, it's not fair, but that's the way it is. God gives some people higher positions than others. He gives some people more to do than others. He gives some 10 talents, some 5, and some 1. And I believe that you and I should not strive for more than what God's given us. In the negative, he may be holding back from what God wants from him. But in the positive, he might be just saying, hey, God will bring about what God's going to do. And he's not manipulating and striving to try to gain something before God wants to give it to him. See, Jacob was like that. We talked about Joshua who was held behind at the defeated Ai. But Jacob was one who was given everything by God, and Jacob would have received everything that God wanted to give him eventually, but instead he lied and he manipulated to receive what God wanted for him. A lot of Christians are like that. We strive and try to gain what God's going to give us, and God would give it to us anyway. And it would be a lot better ride if we were just to sit back and say, Lord, just do your work. Do whatever you want to do. However you want to work it out, whatever you want to do in my life. Once again, I think back to when I was the pastor or the youth pastor at Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque. And I remember just knowing that God was going to use me in some other way and just being a bit antsy. In fact, God's plan was to bring Tucson out in his timing and bring me here. But I couldn't see God's plan. For whatever reason, God didn't fill me in. God doesn't do that. He doesn't come to us for advice. I'd give him some better advice, by the way, on how he should have brought everything about. But I remember that Skip Heitzig, my pastor in Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, had really recognized the teaching gift in me, and he had kind of stirred me up and had given me some opportunities to go and begin Bible studies places. One of them was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He said to me on several occasions, why don't you go to Santa Fe? Now, I didn't feel God called me to Santa Fe. One of the reasons is because Santa Fe is weird. If you're listening to this in Santa Fe, well, you guys understand what I mean, then, if that's the case. It's kind of like Sedona, Arizona. It's got a lot of, they needed somebody really weird to go there. And eventually, a very good friend of mine, Gino Geraci, who's now pastor of Calvary Chapel in Colorado, Littleton, he became the pastor of Calvary Chapel of Santa Fe, and they were a perfect fit. Because Gino's a little weird, and Gino is actually going to be here next Sunday morning sharing with you. And you can tell him that I said that he was weird, by the way, and I'm sure he'll appreciate that. But he's a good friend, and he eventually founded the church there, but I didn't believe that God called me there. So I kind of got my business. I had a business, and I got it to the place where I could make a living without being there. I had worked hard on getting managers into the places of positions to where I could run it with just a very minimal time from my perspective. And so I went to Skip, kind of saying, Skip, it's time for me to come on, see here, buddy. It's time for you to kind of get on board and bring me on, see? And I went and said, Skip, I got my business to the place where I can, you know, run it without being there, and I'd like to, you know, just give, you know, full time to the church. Not being paid anything, I just want to give full time. And Skip said to me, go away. No, that's not really what he said. But in essence, he said that. He said, you know, I just got a call this last week from a small group of people who are in Tucson, Arizona, and they're looking for a pastor. What do you think about going and teaching over there and seeing if it might not be what God wants? And I said, Tucson? Well, I didn't know anything about Tucson. It could have been 20,000. It could have been 2 million. I didn't know. I said, Tucson? Well, let me pray about it. And the more I began to pray, the more God just began to touch my heart. That even before I came, I knew that I knew that I knew that God wanted us here. I just knew that that was what God was doing in his timing. All of that manipulation, by the way, of getting things together that I might be able to get myself into a position was for naught. Because God was going to do what God was going to do in God's timing. And things happened so fast. We had 6 people in our first meeting. Within 2 months, we had almost 300 people. Things just took off to where I didn't need to, you know, manipulate and get everything together and put the business into a place. God had everything as he desired it. And over the years, I've really learned, I don't want more than what God has for us. I don't want this church to be bigger than what God wants this church to be. I don't want it to be smaller than what God wants it to be. But I don't want it to be bigger. I want what God wants for us. You know why? Because that's where we're going to be comfortable. That's where we're going to be the most effective. If we strive and connive and try to get larger and larger when God doesn't want that, we're going to find that we're not effective in reaching Tucson and what God's given us. Also, you don't want to be at the place where you say, well, we just want to, you know, be small. We don't want to do everything God wants for us. If God has 5 talents for us, hey, I want all 5. But I don't want to strive to try to take 10 if that's not what God wants, because there will be no joy in that. So Saul doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't strive. He just allows it to take place. Then look at verse 17. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah. Now, some time has passed between verses 16 and 17. And then in verse 18, and he said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all of the kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all of your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. So Samuel calls everybody together and says, all right, you guys have rejected God and you've demanded a king. Now I want you to get in your tribes. So they divided into the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Naphtali, Dan, Ephraim, Manasseh, 13 tribes in all. 12 tribes of Israel and the half tribe of Manasseh, the half tribe of Dan. And then, the half tribe of Ephraim and the half tribe of Manasseh. The full tribe of Dan, by the way, for you Bible students. Anyway, he gathers them all together. And then the lot falls naturally on Benjamin. Now Samuel has already told Saul that he's going to be king. And Saul, we learn at this point, is hiding. Why he's hiding, we really don't know. But, you know, there's your king, the guy hiding in the equipment. That's the guy. Go get him. That's kind of the point. He's hiding, and it naturally falls on Benjamin. And I wonder if Saul at that point, I wonder if his heart began to beat faster. That which God had spoken to him was now coming to pass. It's an amazing thing when that which God has spoken to you is going to take place begins to unfold before you, and you see God's hand there. And the beautiful thing about not striving for it is that you haven't strove to make it happen, but it just begins to happen, and you know that it's God. You know his hand is on it. Then verse 21, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by its families, then the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hiding in the equipment. So they ran and they brought him from there, and he stood among the people. He was taller than any of the people from the shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him among all of the people. So all of the people shouted and said, long live the king. So Saul is hiding, and once again, this makes me feel like, you know, he's really not stepping forward to receive what God wants. That he's kind of holding back. Once again, that may be some of you. You may be hiding among the equipment. Slipping into church and sitting in the chair, knowing that God has more for you, and just kind of hiding from that. We are a body. God calls us not so that you can come into this place and support my ministry. Understand, you will never hear terms like that from this pulpit. You will never hear me say, this is my ministry. Because it's not. It's our ministry. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that the job of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. My job isn't necessarily to do the work of the ministry, but to equip you to do the work of the ministry so that our hearts are knit together. Look at the next verse. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote in it a book and laid it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched. There were certain men who said, I'm here with you. Whatever ministry God may call you to do, at whatever level God calls you to do, God knits people around you. He brings men with the same kind of a heart that you have. Maybe the first time that you came into Calvary Chapel, you sat down and you began to listen to the teaching, or maybe you heard the worship and you thought, you know, there's just something about this that I really like. The more you heard about us, the more you realize, the more we were like you. I believe that God does that in knitting people together. That it's not like you come in and go, boy, I want to be like them and believe the same thing they believe. It's that you already believe it. That your philosophy of ministry is very much like our philosophy of ministry. And so God just kind of knits us together that you and I do the work. I found that to be true with our staff. By the way, the staff that we have here at the church is phenomenal. The guys who God has placed over you to care for your spiritual needs love you tremendously. But not only that, us together. God's knit our hearts together. Now, if you've come into this place and you look around and don't like the way things are done and you feel like things ought to be done differently, there's a good possibility God hasn't put you here. There's a good possibility your heart hasn't been knit here. It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just a go away kind of a thing. See? It's don't go away mad. Just go away. Go find where God has knit your heart to. Go find the church that has the same kind of philosophy and heart that you have. It's not a bad thing. God places different churches in a town that he might be able to minister to different people. And that is okay. You may say, well, I've never heard a pastor tell me to go away before. But see, I believe that God brings us together that we can do the work as effectively as we possibly can. And once again, we're not striving to be big. We've never done that. We've never at some point said, now how can we get together and have a 5-year plan and how can we be the largest church in Tucson? We've never done it. It's not our desire. Our desire is to be as big as God wants us to be. And who knows that except God? God hasn't shown me what that's going to be. I don't know that God shows anybody what that's going to be. But I believe that God knits our hearts together. And whatever ministry you might be involved in. Maybe you really feel called to, you know, the nursing home ministry. And you'll find that there are other people here knit with the same kind of heart. Now, not only does God bring people to support and stand beside you, but look at verse 27. But some rebels said, how can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no presents. So that some from the midst of Israel attacked and hated Saul. So it is in ministry. I wish I could tell you, Calvary Chapel is the perfect church. And if you get involved in ministry here and you find the place that God wants you to be, nothing bad will ever happen because we are perfect. However, you know this, we're not perfect. And there are going to be people who are going to be jealous. There are going to be people who are going to despise what you're doing. And there are going to be people who attack you. And for some of you, you say, well, that's all I needed to hear. I ain't going to get involved at all because I don't need that again. And especially, fellas, isn't it true when it happens to our wives? You know, being in ministry over the years, now for many years, I've had people do and say things to my wife that I can't believe that they would do. And I've got to tell you, when it happens, my flesh rises up. And I get that, mess with my wife, will you? You know, mess with me, one thing, but you know, say something about my wife and that's it. You know, I'm coming after you. But I've learned that, you know, we don't have a mafia mentality. You know, you've messed with me and my family. You know, now I'm going to make sure, you know, you never, you know, work in this church again, you know. You're never going to be in any church in this town again. Just allowing God to take care of things. Look at Saul's response at the end of verse 27. But he held his peace. Saul didn't say anything about the people who were attacking him. I've learned this to be so very important. I've known pastors that when people begin to attack them in their ministry, they begin to talk about it from the pulpit. They get behind the pulpit and they begin to address those situations from the pulpit. Listen, if God calls you into an area where you're pastoring, and I believe God's going to do that to some who are here, don't ever use the pulpit to defend yourself. It's an ugly thing. I know that some of you can say amen because you've been in churches that it's happened. Keep the pulpit separate from trying to defend yourself. And don't do it in kind of a hidden way. No one else is going to know except that person. And so, you know, a pastor will get up. And I've heard this before. Some guy's attacking him in the church. And so he gets up and he goes, the devil is among us. The devil is here. He's got curly hair, you know, dark curly. And they just start to describe the guy. Like no one's going to know. And everybody's going, I know exactly what he's doing here. And I believe that when you try to defend yourself, God stops defending you. God will say, go ahead, knock yourself out, do the best you can do. But if you will let God defend you, God will take care of it. And you know what? I'd rather have God as my defense than me. David knew this. Remember when the guy started throwing rocks at King David? Now, think of that. You know, first of all, what a stupid thing to do. Could you imagine if you threw rocks at the President of the United States? We would say bye-bye to you for a very long time. If, you know, President Bush were to come and visit Tucson, and you went down to meet him by throwing rocks at him, they would take you away, and they would lock you up for a long time. And this guy is throwing rocks at David, and Joab, one of his bodyguards, said to King David, want me to go kill him? Joab was a bloodthirsty guy anyway. He said, I'll enjoy it. I'll kill him. And David said, no. Listen to what David said. He said, maybe God told him to throw rocks at me. Wow. See, that's someone who really understands that God ultimately is in charge. And that if there is friction and if there is difficulties, that God puts on our plate what God wants to put on our plate. And I am so thankful that I understand that. That when there are difficulties that arise with individuals, it's not necessarily that individual. It's just God doing what God wants to do and working out what God wants to work out within our lives. And know that ministry has its high points and ministry has its low points. There are those that rally around us and support us, and there are those who will tear us down and try to come against what we are doing. But the important thing is that we are faithful to God. That's the important thing. The important thing is that we allow ourselves to be appointed as God does. And listen, this is one of the main points this morning, that you do not strive for position. Don't strive to put yourself into a position to be used by God. Instead, just allow God to reveal it. And what an awesome thing it is when God reveals the work that He wants to do in your life. Let's stand up and pray.